Hey guys, it's me, Pranav.
And I'm Jess, and welcome to today's episode of Dose of Pharma. Today's theme surrounds inspiring current students. Many students struggle to decide what pathway to choose when coming towards the end of the pharmaceutical science bachelor's degree. So today we explore the option of doing an honours year and what comes after. We also dive into utilising and making the most of LinkedIn, including coming up with ideas for posts and prioritising time.
Today's guest will be Christine Tolokachal. Those of you who have been on LinkedIn or have just started LinkedIn, I'm sure you would know who Christine is. Christine is always posting her very famous Footsteps Friday series on LinkedIn. She's also a fourth year's honors student who is working on taste masking tablets. She has also done a research internship with Agriculture Victoria. Other than that, she's also a swim instructor at YMCA. She loves cooking, and she's also the co-founder of Dose of Pharma. As said by Jess, today we'll be focusing on confidence and what you can do after your degree and other career paths. So we hope you guys find this one insightful.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So we would like to start off with like an icebreaker question. What is your favorite part about being a student at Monash?
I think that's a hard question. There's lots of fun and I guess favorite things about being at Monash, but I think one particularly I think is very specific to our campus at Parkville is our community. So I guess that's what a lot of people say, but I think that the community that we have here at Parkville makes that whole experience of studying at Monash really, I guess, that next level up.
Yeah, no, it's really enjoyable how like small our cohort is, because yeah. You tend to know most people there, if not everyone, and you can like say hi to people on campus.
I have a conflicting opinion. Yeah. Because I'm international, I look up Monash online, because like, oh, this is the uni I'm going to be coming to, and I get this massive campus. I'm like, oh, my campus is going to be massive with big buildings and everything. And then I get here, and my friend's like, you could go across the whole campus within 5 minutes. I'm like, that's a bit disappointing. But yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's always a bit of a shock going to like Clayton from here and be like, wow. I'm like, we've got four buildings.
Yeah, that's true.
But it means it's like really good support systems, I think. Like, they care about each other.
Yeah.
We'll start with our first question. You're already an honors student and you've got a lot of other experiences as well. You worked with Research Victoria, you're also a swim instructor. So what is your secret for building up this personal portfolio?
I don't think there's, I guess, a secret. I think all the things that I do spend time is things that I'm passionate about, things that I enjoy doing. And so that's why I put time for that. So yeah, I guess, as you said, obviously uni, I put a lot of time into that so that I can that can go towards my career and also all my extracurricular to give back to community, and also I guess some of my like other things that I enjoy doing or things that I see myself being good at, I put time into those and such, because I think it's hard to build, I guess, a portfolio, as you call it, without putting your heart into everything that you do. Otherwise it's not really your personal portfolio, it's just you doing things for someone else.
So how would your week look like? Is you're studying, then you're in the pool, but then you're baking, so it'd be like not all over the place, but it'd be pretty fun, right?
Yeah, well, I guess like it's going into this year, it's been a lot different compared to what I've been used to in terms of like my routine or schedule, but yeah, I guess like currently I'll be in the lab for a few hours or sometimes up to a whole day. Or I'll come out of the lab and then I'll either do like my written honors work, or sometimes those spare moments will be spent on like my extracurriculars. And as well, like, I guess I try split it up so that my weekend or my nights are not uni related, so that I can spend time on those extracurriculars or going to work.
Yeah, I suppose because like you really enjoy it all and you're passionate about it, like, so you try really hard to find time and get the balance between it all.
Yeah,
and it definitely makes it a lot easier when you enjoy it to find time to do these things.
Yeah. I think this year I found it a lot harder to find, I guess, that balance between doing things, because I guess last year I think was my best year in terms of organization. I think it was a bit different because we were online. So that gave us, I guess, more time to focus on things that we did enjoy. But this year, I think going back into person and kind of having to adapt to that. And then also, like, all my, like, extracurricular roles have changed in terms of, like, responsibilities, whether it's decreased or increased or just different, I guess, tasks. So I guess it's still trying, I guess even a few months into this year, I'm still trying to find that rhythm and routine.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully later in the year you get a handle on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, everything's changing. So I guess yeah. you just gotta.
Yeah. Go with the flow. Especially at the moment, like with COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty much back to normal, but it's like, are we on campus? Are we not on campus? Like yeah. there's still a lot of uncertainty going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of our viewers as well, I think everyone has a similar. They always want to do other stuff than uni and everything. So I think it'd be really good if you could give our viewers some tips about time management and how you organize everything.
Yeah. So I think find what works for you. So I guess first, like when you put yourself into all these different things, find what balance works for you, whether that's, let's say, uni and one or two other things, or sometimes for some people it could be three or four things. I guess it just depends how big those extracurricular activities are, and then from there figuring out, I guess, a schedule. So when you're going to work on certain things, I guess I don't really do that in terms of my extracurricular at the moment. I usually set out time for my honours uni work, and then if I have a shift at work, and then I'll usually write a to-do list, and that will have, I guess, all my tasks. So once, let's say I finished an experiment in the lab, or I'm waiting for an experiment to finish, I can just go to that to-do list and be like, oh, I need to work on this and this for this and this. And so then I can do that. And I guess another thing is you see a lot of things about time management online, like from different people. Again, find what works for you, because I guess it's always hard. Some people always like use a to-do list, but for you, that may not work. So see, kind of play around. Like sometimes a to-do list really works well for me, but sometimes I completely forget about it. So sometimes I block things out in my calendar, and as well, kind of switching between digital and on paper as well can make a big difference.
Just like finding your own rhythm and finding your own method, because everyone yeah. has their own method. So yeah.
And as well, I guess not being scared to change your method.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm always changing it depending on like my mood or what, like if there's a lot of, let's say, assignments or deadlines coming up, like I'll change it depending on that.
Yeah, even like with circumstances, like how we were talking about the difference between last year and this year and how uni changes year to year, even just normally.
Yeah.
So finding those new methods that you can adapt to and change with and like that work for you at that time.
Yeah.
And then you also give a lot of advice on LinkedIn.
Yes.
You've got like your weekly segment called Future Footsteps Friday. So what motivated you to produce that?
So I guess like I've been sharing content on LinkedIn for just over a year now, and I guess it got to a point where I was sharing some of the content I was sharing was, I guess, along the same themes, and then I wanted to create something that people that were, I guess, connected or following me could come back to my profile. So I guess having a series on Friday, everyone who connects with me knows, oh, she'll have a post on Friday, so they can come back to me for that. And I guess the theme being Future Footsteps is kind of equipping my audience with different skills about like stepping into the future. So whether that be like soft or hard skills, or things like using LinkedIn, or I guess other like job related ones. And even though sometimes, I guess, even with all my content or what I share, I'm not an expert in everything, but I feel like I've learned a little bit more than others may have, to sharing that knowledge with everyone.
Yeah, providing your unique perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Why LinkedIn? Like, what about the platform do you like so much? Or what made you choose LinkedIn over the other platforms? How do you think that your choice aligns with how the benefits of LinkedIn for our student, or like our viewers or students?
Yeah, so I think, again, like as you said, you want to use a platform for like the right reason. So I guess I didn't even know about LinkedIn, but as soon as I jumped onto it, I think I created a profile for an internship I was doing. And then from there, I kind of started connecting with more people, learning more about the platform. And then I connected with this guy called Josh Farr, and he runs, a company called Campus Consultancy, who does workshops in leadership and, various skills for university students and leaders. And he's very passionate about LinkedIn as well. So through that, I was able to, learn a lot more. And I think building that personal brand. And I see for me, I use LinkedIn for, that professional side of things. And then content as well, because sharing it with people that want to learn that content. If I went on somewhere like Facebook, I feel like people wouldn't want to see, people connected with me because they're friends, we know each other, and it's more social. But on LinkedIn, it's more that professional connection and wanting to develop. And even though I think it's not wrong if you want to use a different platform, just figure out why you are using that platform. So I know a lot of people will have Instagram or even TikTok for professional skills and such, which actually I'll follow some people because I find that really useful. But again, it just depends on what type of content you want to share, who your target audience is as well.
Where do you get the inspiration for your content? What personal experiences do you draw upon?
I guess the previous extracurricular activities or even what I'm doing now that has helped me, learn and grow. Each and every year I'm growing so much just from all the different positions that I am partaking in. So that's one side of things. And then sometimes from those things or what I'm currently doing, ideas would just pop up into my head. And as well, scrolling through LinkedIn, sometimes I'll be reading someone else's posts and that will connect to something, in my life. So then I'll note that down so then I can share that as well. So I guess trying to take inspiration from what I'm currently doing, but also what other people are doing as well.
Just expanding on your LinkedIn, I noticed you had another segment called Unspoken.
Yeah.
I think you tried to restart and reboot it 5 months ago. So what happened with that? And can you tell us a little bit more about your that segment on LinkedIn as well?
Yeah. So it was, as you said, a series that I created called Unspoken. And it was, Unspoken People Behind the Jobs. And so I created, in August last year, and it was part of a leadership challenge, focusing on employability. And I kind of saw a gap that whenever people are interviewed or you always ask, employers questions, it's always the same things what does your day-to-day work look like? What do you do at your job and such? More very career focused. But then I saw that people don't really learn about the people behind the jobs. So actually who makes up the person that does that job. So they created that series trying to highlight those type of aspects. So some of the questions that I asked was, what do you do in your lunchtime? That was kind of a very fascinating question because it was you're at work 9 to 5 most of the time, but you have that, let's say, half an hour, 1 hour break. What do you actually do? I know a lot of people will keep working or some people will go out and enjoy a walk, things like that. So there's a lot of different questions, out of the box, And then I ran that, for a few weeks, and I had in total 11 guests from different industries and different positions. And then I kind of concluded that. I think I concluded it because out of all the people that I'd contacted, that was kind of the people that had responded. And although I was getting a few more interested, I kind of decided to stop it there, thinking that I'll come back into it in the future, maybe next month. And I think as well, at that time it was going into exams as well. It was a very busy time. So I pushed it back. And then I think a few months later, I think it was the start of this year, or maybe it was, the very end of last year, I kind of remembered about it and I was whoops, I forgot to, continue it. But I think, although I don't think I ever forgot about it, I think it just went to the back of my mind as I was doing exams or assignments. And then I kind of wasn't sure what to do, how to keep it going. Although there was lots of rooms, lots of guests I could keep having like onto series and continuing with the same questions, I kind of didn't have that same passion as I did at the start, but I still wanted to continue doing something with it. So I guess I kind of put it on pause, but even putting it on pause, like I was still able to learn so much from what I did in the past, and also being able to put something on pause and saying, I'm just going to pause that for now while I focus on this. I think that's also really important.
Yeah.
And I guess even, I think at the start of this year, at the end of last year, I was kind of developing some new ideas for, I guess, on the next part of the series. But since then, I've kind of stopped that, like put that on pause. And I think in the future, I could come back to it. It's always in the back of my mind. I think I just need to wait for a bit more inspiration or maybe ideas to kind of take the series to the next level.
Yeah, and like the stuff you said about the people behind the jobs, I think it's really important in the job market as well, because if you apply for a job, they're not only going to see your skills, but they more want to see if you're a person they can work with. So it comes back to what kind of a person you are and just about your approach and your personality and everything. So skills is, for me, I think if you have the minimum prerequisite skills, that's like, okay, he is able enough, but do we actually want him to work with us? That's like your second part of your like a job process or like your job interview.
So how do you go about like choosing what you prioritize? Was it simply because you're not passionate about it anymore and you want to come back when you redevelop that passion?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly like when I guess when you just ask a question, like I personally, I don't 100% know why I stopped it, which I think like sometimes you don't know,
yeah.
Which is fine. But I guess as well, knowing like I was passionate for it and I guess I still am, but I currently don't want to prioritize it. I currently don't want to put time into it. I guess now I have my other series as well, the Future Footsteps yeah. Friday. So though like I am passionate for all the different ideas, I guess I'll continue doing that Future Footsteps Friday for a bit longer, see how that goes, and then that might fizzle out, which will give me a bit more space to go back to that.
I think, yeah, that's important because you want to do something properly. You don't want to just do it for the sake of it or because you've been doing it. So I think it's important that you pause, have a think, retrospect and everything, and then when the next time you do it, you actually do it properly. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also important not to overload yourself, especially yeah. like going into 100%. Exams. It always gets so busy.
Yeah. I think as well, that not overloading is a big part of, as you mentioned at the start, like how do I balance everything and time management, figuring out when it's the right time to say no. So like I see myself as a very passionate and driven person, so I want to put 110% into everything I do, but that's physically not possible. So trying not to overload yourself or burn yourself out, because I guess that will hit you hard when that does come. So I guess trying to get that balance between doing everything you love but also not overloading or burning yourself out.
Yeah, having like a very good understanding of your limits and when yeah. you're going to take yourself too yeah. far.
Yeah, exactly. And even with that, sometimes you don't know what your limits are. So sometimes you have to push yourself to burn out to know that next time that you can't, like you yeah. won't push yourself that far.
Yeah, I suppose there's also knowing that like you can burn out occasionally, like it's, you don't want to, you want to avoid it, but if you do, that's normal and yeah. you can get past that and you will be productive again.
yeah.
And you've made a post because you're really open on your LinkedIn, which is something we really admire. How do you have that confidence to talk about something you're not on terms with, or like where do you get that confidence to be, you
know? I guess again, it takes a lot of time for me to become, I guess, more confident in myself and as well sharing content. But I think, again, practice makes perfect. That's what everyone says, which I guess if I look back to the first posts I made, it was probably terrible. But as I create more and more content, it becomes, I guess, better and better. And even sometimes I post some content that no one interacts with or like, so that will always happen. Yeah, so practice. And also, I feel like a big issue in, like, today's society is you feel like you're always getting judged by other people. And I think I definitely have been in those, I guess, thoughts that people are judging you. But as I share more content, I've become more confident in myself, and I realize that people don't actually really care. Like, even if I put something out, I guess nothing that I put out is like, people won't see it as like negative,
yeah.
or at least I hope not. but I guess just knowing that people aren't going to judge you as harshly as you think. So there's a quote that I like to, I guess, stand by, which is by a social media influencer called Sarah's Day. And she says, act confident and no one will question you. Which is kind of true. Like, imagine if you walked into a room and yeah. you kind of like strutted into there, no one's going to question you.
Yeah.
But if you like walked in and you were scared of everyone, no one's going to like pay attention to you. Like, no, or everyone will think you're scared. So I guess that's a really good quote that I like to stand by with, I guess, everything that I try to do.
No, that's something I struggle with, is having the confidence to post on LinkedIn. Yeah. How do you deal with, like, when you have a post and no one interacts? Like, it's like, it's always hard. Like, you know you're not to take it personally. But yeah. then it's like, how do you deal with that, like, yeah, that feeling?
Yeah, I guess don't take it on too harshly. Like, if you're sharing content and people don't like it, that's okay. You can always learn, be like, oh, they didn't like this, oh, but they like this, so I can share more of this. But I guess for like my LinkedIn, I always see the posts that I do about, like, let's say the internships that I completed, or like my achievements, that always gets like high engagement. But I'm not gonna be posting my achievements every single day. Like, that's a bit bit too confident. Yeah. So I guess it's okay to have those ups and downs. Like, you're not always going to just be going up or like on the same level the whole time. It's going to always be a bumpy road.
Yeah, I suppose also if you're posting stuff, even if it gets like less interaction, but it's advice, and one person might really get something out of that advice compared to just posting your achievement. Yeah. But they're all really happy for you, but they might not get as much out of your post.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you never know if you've affected, if you've inspired just one person. And even if, when you have inspired one person, that's one more person that you've inspired that you hadn't inspired before.
Yeah.
So I think it's always worth it. And I guess not to beat yourself up about it, because it was just one post. And you can always go back and be like, oh, but everyone liked this post, so like, that's okay.
Yeah. Not to steer away from the topic, but you're a fourth year honors student, and I'm really interested to know how, just like, how honors is, and I'm pretty sure a lot of our viewers are inquisitive about how do you apply for it, like what projects are you doing and stuff like that. So
yeah, so I guess I'm doing honors in, our faculty is more split into, I guess, different themes. So I'm in the drug decision delivery and dynamics theme, and I am working on a project where I am taste masking clindamycin. So that's an antibiotic, and it tastes really, really bad. And I guess particularly making up a formulation to mask that taste in pediatric patients, because I guess hopefully no one was scarred by medicine as a child, but I know a lot of people didn't like different like tablets or powders that they had to eat, or even like the syrup that everyone seems to be scarred by. So yeah, coming up with a formulation which is, I guess, focusing on a lipid formulation at the moment to encapsulate the drug particles for that. It has been a very new experience. Even though I've had completed a few internships, which I think already completing internships has helped me gain a bit more experience into the real world compared to undergrad, honours is completely different from that. I think because you're very independent with your project, at least I guess I am. I have my two supervisors and I can always go to them for help, but in terms of like getting everything done, that's completely up to me. So I think that's a huge thing, and again, still struggling with that. I think as well, because there's no deadlines with honours, you have a few assignments throughout the year in terms of like your research project, but not as much as you did in undergrad. And as well, we have a bit of coursework. But again, that's not your project. That's different coursework.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought that I was good at, I guess, like organization and like self-management and being independent before this year. But I guess this year has opened up my eyes like completely. Obviously, in undergrad, you are independent as you grow, even like compared to high school to uni,
yeah.
You're a whole lot more independent. But then stepping from, I guess, undergrad to honors, that's a whole nother step. And I guess even into the work field as well, it depends, because I feel like researchers sometimes is a bit more independent based compared to in the industry. Sometimes you'll be working on your own projects, but a lot of time it'll be with a team of other people. You'll be working on something, so you have everyone's support. But yeah, it's a different story when it's just you.
More likely to have like deadlines and stuff in like industry, I think, compared to research.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't imagine not having deadlines. Need that like motivating factor, being like, I have to do it by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a popular conundrum in a cohort because there's people who've already taken up advanced honors, but they wanted to drop out and they wanted to industry. So would you recommend honors, or what sort of things should they analyze and account for before they drop out of their honors to go directly into industry?
Yeah, kind of a perfect question, because when I was at the end of last year, when it came to picking, so I was already in the advanced honors stream, but when it came to, I guess, confirming like what that we're going to continue and like picking our projects, I spent like weeks thinking, do I do honors or industry? And like, it was the biggest dilemma. And I talked to so many people, so many like lecturers, trying to figure out like what was right for me. And I think even if you don't pick the right thing for you, you're going to learn something new. So going into honors, I think a lot of the things that people told me was, you're going to learn really good skills. It's only 1 year, which I guess 1 year is still a long time, but if you think about 1 year out of, let's say, the 50 years you have in the future, that's not too long. And then also, you never know, I guess, what you want to do. And you can always, if you do honours, you can always come back and do PhD after, without, I guess, having to do that extra year of honours as well. I see myself going into industry next year, literally like 2 months into the project. This year, I was like, I'm definitely doing industry next year. I think people also keep asking me, oh, so you're going to do a PhD next year? Experiencing what I have so far, like, I love my project, I love what I've been doing, but I feel like for me, I see myself going into industry and enjoying that a bit more than, I guess, research. And as well, I guess industry is not set to just industry. Mm-hmm. There are some companies that kind of mix that industry and research aspect. For honours, it's, I get a lot of people, if there's some of my friends that know that even like a few years ago, like 2 years into their degree, they knew I'm doing honours, I'm doing PhD, but also a lot of people don't know that. And so trying to figure out, I guess, just figure out what you enjoy doing and what your passions are. So especially in our field, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah, there's definitely still like research opportunities in industry. It seems like it helped you personally develop a lot doing this honours. And even if it's not like something you want to pursue directly with like the going into the PhD, doing the research, you've still got like, you've still learnt a lot from it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well, sometimes when employers will say that you've done honours, you can draw a lot of those experience from honours, like if you're in an interview. And even if you decide to go straight into industry, so many people, like people get jobs straight after they graduate, which is totally fine. And there's nothing against if you decide to, let's say, drop out of the honours stream and go into industry. And also, you can always go into industry. If you don't like it, you come back for honours.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Do honours, you don't like it, go into industry, kind of like getting a taster. I think especially for our course, how in third year you have like a 4-week placement, that is a really good time to figure out what you do want to do. For us, last year in COVID, we only had 2 weeks in lab. And I think in those 2 weeks, it was just like learning how to do everything and then trying to get as much done that I didn't really get exposed to what honours would be like. But I think over 4 weeks, that's a really good like time frame for you to figure out if you do, let's say if you're doing a research-based placement, if you like that, or if not, you can go into industry and vice versa.
Yeah. So thank you for talking to us today, Christine. So it's been great. You've been really informative.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope that, I guess, the audience learns a few things from what we discussed today.
Yeah, I hope you guys like today's episode.
To conclude the episode, we wish to acknowledge the people of the Kulin Nations on whose land we are gathered today. We pay our respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. For those listening who may be based elsewhere, we pay our respects to the traditional owners of the land from wherever you may be listening from. We especially welcome any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people listening in today.